Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We have a custom tailor session queued up for you today, diving into the curated stack of tech and hardware notes you actually sent over.
Yeah, and looking through these sources dated March 5th and 6th, 2026, the hardware news cycle over the last 24 hours has violently shifted.
It really has. I mean, we are moving entirely away from the flashy consumer gadgets and dropping straight down into hardcore transistor-level engineering.
Right. Because when you synthesize the sheer breadth of the sources you provided, and we are talking about everything from enterprise storage and geopolitical supply chains to automotive optics and sub-dollar microcontrollers, there is a singular, massive architectural shift happening.
And it's happening everywhere all at once.
It is. We are witnessing the aggressive decentralization of intelligence.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the industry seems to be collectively realizing that our traditional computing architecture is just hitting a physical wall.
A literal thermodynamic wall, yes.
Right. The old model of funneling all the processing, all the decision-making up to a central CPU, it's becoming a massive bottleneck. Imagine you're trying to multitask and every single tiny action has to be approved by one overwhelmed manager.
It's a fundamental physics problem at this point. Today's mission, based on your notes, is to explore how global tech titans are redesigning hardware from the bare silicon up.
Yeah.
They are putting microscopic autonomous brains into every isolated piece of hardware, so those components no longer have to ask the main processor for permission to act.
A great place to see the CPU bottleneck in action is with the enterprise heavyweights. Your notes start with IBM and this massive storage revolution they just announced.
The fifth generation flash core modules.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because historically, relying on the host CPU to deduplicate or scan enterprise solid state drives is, well, it's like using a high-performance sports car to tow a freight train.
That's an excellent way to put it.
You're just clogging up the motherboard's PCIe lanes and creating a massive input-output bottleneck. You end up wasting expensive CPU cycles on simple data traffic.
And that PCIe traffic jam is exactly what causes severe thermal throttling in server farms. When an AI needs to parse petabytes of data on an NVMe drive, the data has to travel from the storage controller.
Across the physical motherboard.
Right across the board, through the PCIe bus, and finally into the primary CPU or GPU memory space. That movement requires power, it generates heat, and it introduces latency.
So your flagship processors end up working overtime just moving data around instead of actually calculating complex new algorithms.
Exactly.
So how does IBM's new flash system, the 5600, 7600, and 9600 series, actually bypass that physical limitation? I mean, storage drives have always had basic controllers. What makes these new modules fundamentally different from the standard SSDs sitting in a server right now?
Instead of relying on the host server's operating system to manage the data pool, IBM hard-coded an agentic AI directly onto the physical memory controllers of every single flash drive.
An AI right on the controller.
Yes. These little silicon agents are entirely independent. They execute real-time inline data compression at the flash block level. They handle their own deduplication natively.
Meaning if the drive sees the exact same massive data set saved 10 times, it just keeps one physical copy and points the other virtual pathways to it.
Without ever waking up the main CPU to ask how to file it.
That's wild.
And crucially, this agentic architecture includes hardware-level ransomware anomaly detection.
Wait, hold on. How does a physical storage drive know it's under a ransomware attack without the main computer's antivirus software telling it what to look for?
It looks at the mathematical entropy of the data being written. The drive's internal AI is constantly monitoring its own input and output patterns.
Oh, I see.
So if it suddenly sees a massive spike in encrypted high-entropy data overwriting known file structures, the hardware itself recognizes the malicious behavior.
Because it knows its own baseline.
Precisely. It can sever the connection and lock the drive down in milliseconds.
Yeah.
And because it does this natively, the published benchmarks are confirming a staggering 40% increase in storage data efficiency.
If you manage enterprise budgets, or if you are a Silicon Valley cloud operator listening to this, that architectural shift is a massive fiscal lifesaver.
Oh, absolutely.
As AI dataset sizes absolutely explode, you no longer need to constantly upgrade your expensive host Intel or AMD processors simply to manage storage overhead.
It saves millions in capital expenditure. The drive becomes an autonomous data sovereign.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's pull back from the server rack and look at the actual silicon manufacturing that powers this entire ecosystem. Your notes highlight a massive overnight shockwave in the global silicon market.
The NVIDIA halt.
Yes. NVIDIA abruptly halted the shipment flow of its flagship H200 processors to the Chinese market, opting to replace them with downgraded architectures like the H20.
Looking objectively at the supply chain logic outlined in your sources, and remaining strictly impartial regarding the national or political viewpoints here, this move is a highly calculated gamble for future dominance.
Right, it's about raw logistics.
Completely. We're just looking at raw manufacturing constraints. It comes down to fiercely finite resources at the foundry level.
You're talking about the output from TSMC's advanced 3-nanometer and 4N nodes?
Yes. You simply cannot fabricate enough of these wafers to meet global demand.
But it's not just the microscopic node size that's the bottleneck, is it? It's how they're put together.
The more severe constraint is the packaging. NVIDIA relies on TSMC's complex CoWoS packaging.
CoWoS, let's break down what CoWoS actually entails for the listener, because it gets thrown around in the financial press a lot without much explanation.
Sure. CoWoS stands for Chip on Wafer on Substrate. In traditional chip manufacturing, you lay out your different processing cores and memory modules flat, side by side on a printed circuit board.
Kind of like a sprawling city.
Exactly. But with CoWoS, you are building a hyper-dense, three-dimensional structure. You place the logic chips and the high-bandwidth memory chips incredibly close together on a tiny piece of silicon called an interposer.
And that interposer acts as a microscopic communication bridge.
Right. Then you stack things vertically. The manufacturing capacity to build these 3D chip architectures is severely constrained globally.
It's just incredibly hard to make.
It is. So NVIDIA's strategic calculus is that burning this precious CoWoS capacity on a highly volatile market right now is a logistical mistake.
So they're aggressively freeing up those production lines to violently accelerate the manufacturing of NVIDIA's next generation architecture, codenamed Vera Rubin.
Named after the pioneering American astronomer, yes. And the specs for the Rubin architecture, which is slated for late 2026, are designed to completely supersede the Blackwell series, the B200 and B300 lines, which currently dominate the data center market.
Right.
The upcoming Rubin architecture has to solve a massive problem. The current Blackwell chips draw a terrifying 1,200 watts of power each.
Wow. 1,200 watts for a single chip. You would basically need a localized power plant just to run a single server rack.
Exactly.
So how does Rubin tame that thermal and electrical nightmare while still increasing performance?
Rubin shifts to ultra-advanced HBM4 high-bandwidth memory 4 and a hyper-efficient chiplet architecture. By utilizing a more advanced CoWoS interposer, the memory is integrated even closer to the logic cores.
So less distance means less energy wasted.
It dramatically reduces the electrical resistance, which tames the power draw. Simultaneously, it doubles the parameter processing density required for multi-trillion parameter AI training.
By severing that H200 pipeline, NVIDIA ensures they maintain their ruthless one-year upgrade cycle,
which is practically unheard of in hardware.
It's a strategy designed purely to outpace the R&D capabilities of competitors like AMD's Instinct chips and Google's TPUs. They are essentially cannibalizing their own current sales to ensure they own the physical manufacturing capacity of the future.
It is a massive pivot, but a necessary one to maintain architectural supremacy.
So we are seeing this massive shift to avoid thermal throttling in stationary server farms. But what happens when you take those same massive thermal and processing constraints and put them inside a car driving 70 miles per hour?
That changes the physics entirely.
Let's take this AI out into the physical world. Imagine you are driving on the highway in total darkness, in impenetrable rain.
For an autonomous driving system relying heavily on standard cameras, that environmental degradation is nearly impossible to navigate safely.
Because they just can't see.
Right. Cameras are passive sensors. They need ambient light. When visibility drops, the host system has to use heavy, error-prone visual guessing algorithms to try and infer what might be in front of the car.
Which brings us to Huawei's Hongmeng Smart Mobility Division. They just shattered the physical glass ceiling of environmental detection by unveiling a new automotive LiDAR system.
They really did.
Can you walk us through the actual specs of this array? Because the numbers in the notes are wild.
The sheer scale of the engineering here is staggering. To contextualize this, the vast majority of premium autonomous platforms globally, including major Western electric vehicles that utilize LiDAR, currently rely on 128-line or, at the very absolute best, 192-line systems.
Okay, so that's the baseline.
Huawei just unveiled an 896-line LiDAR system.
An 896-line system. That is almost a 5x increase. What does that multiplier actually mean for the 3D point cloud in real terms?
Well, a point cloud is the three-dimensional topographical map the car builds by bouncing millions of laser pulses off the surrounding world and measuring how long they take to return.
Like digital echolocation.
Exactly. With an 896-line array, the microscopic dot density of that map multiplies by a factor of 5. That fidelity allows the car's local intelligence to distinguish a discarded plastic bag blowing across the road from a small crawling animal.
And it does this with millimeter accuracy in total darkness.
Precisely.
That makes sense in theory, but operating hundreds of high-powered lasers simultaneously inside a sealed moving vehicle generates massive amounts of heat.
Thermal management is usually the killer there.
Right. Wouldn't an 896-line array literally melt the optical housing, or at least require huge, bulky liquid cooling systems that ruin the aerodynamics of the vehicle?
What's fascinating here is how they solved the thermal dynamics. Huawei utilized a proprietary photon-level heat dissipation matrix combined with custom metamaterials.
Metamaterials?
Yes, materials engineered at the molecular level to channel heat away from the laser emitters instantaneously, without the need for traditional bulky cooling fans or liquid loops.
So it's completely passive cooling.
It keeps the array incredibly energy efficient, allowing it to be seamlessly integrated to the smooth roofline of a standard sedan.
Stepping back and looking at this objectively from an industry standpoint, it reveals a huge market shift. Global smartphone titans are actively weaponizing their decades of dominance in camera optical lithography and bringing it into the EV sector at scale.
And this approach floods the vehicle's neural networks with pristine, undeniable, physical ground truth data.
Rather than guessing.
Exactly. It drastically reduces the need for the host CPU to run complex, power-hungry, predictive hallucinations to fill in the blanks, which is what happens in camera-only vision inference platforms.
It feeds the autonomous platform the rawest, highest fidelity data possible,
which is the critical fuel required for absolute level 4 autonomy.
Again, we are seeing the same theme. The physical sensor itself is gathering such high-quality data that it offloads the heavy processing and guessing from the central brain. Now, from multi-million dollar data centers and bleeding-edge autonomous vehicles, let's swing to the absolute opposite end of the spectrum.
The sub-dollar market.
Yes. Your notes highlight what might be the most pervasive shift of all, the 64-cent AI revolution.
While the media focuses intensely on massive data centers, the true volume war of 2026 is happening at the absolute edge of the network, inside ultra-cheap, battery-operated IoT devices. STMicroelectronics just launched their new entry-level STM32C5 series of microcontrollers.
And the price listed in the sources is exactly 64 cents when purchased in lots of 10,000.
A literal pocket change processor.
But the fabrication here is on a 40-nanometer node. We just talked about NVIDIA fighting tooth and nail for 3-nanometer space. Why is a 40-nanometer node relevant in 2026?
Because for edge computing, you don't need the bleeding edge of miniaturization. You need extreme cost-effectiveness and stability. The 40-nanometer process is incredibly mature, meaning the defect rate is practically zero, which keeps the cost at that 64-cent floor.
That makes sense.
But based on the classic ARM Cortex-M33 architecture, these specific chips have something unique. A dedicated physical coprocessor called the Hardware Signal Processor, or HSP.
Why does a cheap 64-cent microcontroller running basic tasks need its own dedicated coprocessor?
Because if you attempt to run a neural network algorithm on a standard tiny microcontroller, the complex math required, specifically operations like fast Fourier transforms, will drain a coin cell battery in a matter of hours.
For those who haven't brushed up on their advanced math lately, a fast Fourier transform is basically the heavy mathematical lifting required to break down complex signals, like audio waves or sensor data, into individual frequencies that an AI can actually analyze.
It's incredibly intense math for a tiny chip.
It is. So the HSP takes over that load.
Right. This new HSP block is hardwired at the silicon level specifically to accelerate those exact algorithms. Because it does the math physically rather than through software emulation, it drops the power draw by a factor of 10.
Wow.
It allows these algorithms to run continuously on microwatt budgets.
Think about what this means for you, the listener, in your daily life. Overnight, electronics engineers can put offline voice command recognition into practically anything. Wake words and natural language triggers can be processed locally
without sending a single byte to the cloud.
You can analyze complex biosignals like heart rate variability or oxygen saturation right on the processor of a cheap smartwatch without sending it to a paired phone.
Or Consider biometric analysis in a digital door lock. Because the data is processed locally on that 64-cent chip via the HSP, there is absolutely no cloud internet latency.
You just touch it and it opens.
Exactly. And furthermore, it completely negates severe privacy fears. Your voice data or your fingerprint isn't being beamed to a server farm. It is analyzed and discarded directly on the lock itself. Every dumb electronic device is gaining localized edge computing capability.
Smart thermostats that predict thermal decay locally. Industrial sensors listening for the microscopic acoustic changes of a bearing failure in a factory motor before it breaks.
Yes.
That 64-cent piece of silicon is putting an autonomous brain in everything.
It is the ultimate high-volume expression of the decentralization of intelligence.
Let's bring this decentralization into the consumer reality, specifically for creators, broadcasters, and gamers. Your nose look at Corsair and their subsidiary Elgato with the launch of their new Wave Next ecosystem.
This directly attacks the operating system bottleneck.
Imagine you are trying to run a heavy AAA video game. You are multitasking in Adobe Premiere, and you are trying to broadcast studio quality audio all at the exact same time.
If you have ever attempted that kind of heavy system load, you understand the software bottleneck. Historically, all your live audio effects, the digital compression, the noise gates, the vocal equalizers, the AI background suppression, were forced through your host PC's central processor.
The CPU handles everything.
Yes, running via the Windows Audio Session API, known as WAS API, or Macus Core Audio.
And because WAS API has to share CPU clock cycles with your video game and your web browser, your system gets bogged down, you get aggravating latency.
And audio degradation.
You get audio crackling and popping, which are technically called buffer underruns, meaning the CPU is too busy rendering a graphics frame to deliver the next packet of audio on time.
Corsair's engineering solution is the Wave FX processor embedded directly inside their new physical XLR docks and desktop microphones.
They put the brain in the mic.
Exactly. They are entirely bypassing the Windows and macOS audio stacks. The hardware DSP, the digital signal processor inside this discrete chip, executes all those heavy VST audio algorithms natively on the physical dock.
So it takes the heavy lifting completely off your host CPU. You get studio process, zero latency audio delivered straight via a USB-C cable.
Not a single clock cycle of your main CPU is used to run that AI noise suppression.
That's brilliant.
Corsair is essentially treating audio streams with the exact same hardware acceleration philosophy that NVIDIA uses for visual graphics. You wouldn't ask your central CPU to render a complex 3D video game environment. You have a dedicated discrete graphics card for that.
Right, you buy a GPU.
Corsair is arguing that you shouldn't ask your central CPU to process complex audio chains either. It shifts the paradigm of consumer broadcasting and turns Elgato into a highly disruptive competitor to entrenched studio recording giants like Focusrite.
So, what does this all mean? We have covered autonomous storage, hyperdense NVIDIA chips, automotive LiDAR, sub-dollar AI, and hardware audio processing. But as we move to the final layer of your notes, we get a harsh reality check.
Hardware advancement isn't just about silicon and physics.
It is deeply bound by international logistics.
The physical world always exerts its toll.
This brings us to the Asian price shock for the Steam Deck OLED. On March 6th, Valve Corporation drastically raised the pricing of the Steam Deck OLED across key Asian markets, specifically Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan.
The sources cite intense logistics distribution costs, surging freight insurance, and historical currency fluctuations against the U.S. dollar.
But why is this happening right in the heart of the manufacturing sector? Taiwan and South Korea are where these components are built.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is a massive warning siren for the entire global tech industry.
How so?
We can invent the most advanced decentralized silicon on the planet, but it still has to be physically assembled and shipped on boats and planes. Taiwan is the beating heart of the global PC component manufacturing apparatus.
Right.
When the base MSRP goes up in the very hubs of production and distribution, it instantly inflates the profit margins required by import companies everywhere else in the world.
And as your notes astutely point out, retail electronics prices are sticky upward. They go up quickly in response to supply chain friction, but they rarely come back down, even when the friction eases.
Exactly. This regional pricing shock signifies that the broader hardware ecosystem is actively suffocating under logistical pressure.
That is concerning for consumers.
This regional shock in Asia is fully expected to cascade into premium gaming laptops, next-generation motherboards, and all those upcoming GPU launches over the second quarter.
Everything's going to get more expensive.
It essentially confirms that the golden era of acquiring premium gaming hardware at globally uniform, stable release prices is collapsing. The modern marvels of silicon are still incredibly vulnerable to the ancient forces of shipping friction and currency inflation.
It is a sobering reality check. But when you synthesize all of the sources you brought to us today, from the IBM flash drive and the NVIDIA architecture shift, to the Huawei LiDAR, the STM microcontroller, the Corsair audio dock, and the Valve pricing shock, the engineering mandate is undeniable.
The central CPU and the traditional operating system are being systematically bypassed in favor of localized processing.
Every piece of the puzzle is changing.
Every isolated piece of hardware, regardless of its size or cost, must now possess its own microscopic autonomous brain.
Think about the device you are using to listen to this deep dive right now. If every single component inside it, the storage drive, the audio processor, the biometric sensors, develops its own autonomous intelligence and no longer needs to check in with the central brain, what happens to our traditional idea of an operating system?
It becomes a very different entity.
Are we moving toward a future where the OS isn't a master brain anymore, but just a traffic cop trying to manage 100 different highly opinionated AI microbrains? Something to think about. Thank you so much for bringing these incredible sources to the table. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.